Welcome to a Wholeness Podcast, a healthy home for hair professionals and our clients, where health and happiness is the top priority for those within the hair industry. Serving those who serve and giving the hair industry one great big hug. Hello, I'm your host, Fliss Downs, a barber, yogi, and meditation teacher. Come on in. Before I crack on with today's episode, if you haven't done so already, please hit the follow button on Spotify or on iTunes and leave me a star rating and review. By doing this, you will be helping me reach a wider audience and get the message out there sooner rather than later. I'd also like to mention that this podcast is proudly sponsored by Earth and Soul Pizza. If you are local to or travelling through Bairnsdale, use my promo code LOVEFLISS. That's LOVEFLISS. And get yourself a free large pizza when you buy one. With locally sourced produce and food exceptionally made by the team at Earth and Soul Pizza, be sure to get your wholesome, blissful pizza. This is episode 51. With only a few more episodes remaining this season of AWP, I am incredibly, incredibly excited to be bringing you this specific episode. The reason why I say that is because myself and my guest today, Lorenzo, who is a physiotherapist, have been meaning to have this conversation for months. And there's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing going on, then life just got in the way. And finally, I managed to reach back out to Lorenzo and say, hey, do you want to jump onto a video call next week or the week after? And bless him, he was so amazing at making that happen. So for that, I want to say a huge, huge, huge thank you to Lorenzo. But also, I'm so sorry, Lorenzo, if you are listening back to this, for my utter delay in communication with you. So listeners, hello, gorgeous, beautiful beings. It is so amazing to be here once again, bringing you another episode week after week. I think this is about 25 weeks now that I've been bringing an episode to you every single Wednesday, and it's going to be such a proud moment for myself when I end this season, which will be episode 54. So you've got a couple more guests, but enough talking about AWP as well as my future episodes. Lorenzo, let's talk about Lorenzo. Lorenzo and I actually connected online. It's another one of them connections that just so randomly happened due to our Instagram accounts and both having a love for health and well-being, finding one another and realizing that there was an alignment. And Lorenzo has not only been somebody that I just randomly connected with online, but to a degree, he's also helped me with my own physical health. Today you're going to be hearing why Lorenzo became a physiotherapist. We discuss the difference between a physiotherapist, osteopath and chiropractor, along with doing a little taster of what it's like to have a consultation online with Lorenzo. So what are we waiting for? Let's get stuck into it.
Let's start off with what took you down the physiotherapist route? What made you want to become a physiotherapist?
Yes, that's a good question. So, basically, now it's over 10 years, done my sort of personal training qualification. And I was working in the gym for about a year. But I realized I wanted to help people a bit more, even sport people mainly, but also people with injuries. I wanted to know a bit more about how the body works. So that's why I did my bachelor degree in sports rehabilitation, which is kind of similar to physio in a way. And then during my bachelor degree, I had my brain injury. So then that's why I went to physio, because I wanted to learn more about the brain and be more medical, other things, because I want to help people and I wanted to understand how it works myself for my own personal.
Wow. So what led you from having a brain injury thinking about physio? Why did you put your brain injury and then physiotherapy together?
So basically, when I had my brain injury, it was quite a severe injury. So I was hospitalized for about 2 months. And I felt during my time in the hospital, the most support I got was from the physio team, to be honest. Obviously, doctors and nurses were supportive, but in a different way, just making sure that I had to do what was needed medically. And felt more like the physios were more on what to get me, try to get me up and move there and there. And just joking as well. So I felt, okay, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I want to be people in that way. And then also in terms of more medical, because obviously it's not like a medical, full medical degree, but compared to my undergrad degree, physiotherapy is much more medical. And there's a lot of understanding on how the body systems work, especially for me, you know, the neuro system, the brain, and kind of stuff was really interesting for my brain injury. So I want to know more about that. But I didn't want to go into medical school, obviously. So that's why.
Wow. It's amazing at what you're saying about how the neuro pathways is all, well, I guess, you know, in general, we know, or many of us know, and for those that don't, that the neuro pathways are linked to your muscles, your joint, your ligament, your fascia. And so I guess from a brain injury perspective, you had to build your body back up again to be able to do everyday stuff, maybe to walk or to be able to feed yourself, whatever that might have been. And to have found those two coming together and linking those together for you to go off in that physiotherapy direction. Do you think you would have found the physiotherapy direction had have you not had that brain injury?
I feel like basically with my undergrad degree, I had the knowledge, say, of a musculoskeletal physiotherapist, like MSK physios. So dealing with sports injuries or like muscle, ligaments, tendons injury, bone injury. That was my undergrad, but then it's not regulated as a healthcare professional. So sports rehabilitators, I was always thinking, oh, maybe I should do physio to have the protected title. But again, I wasn't sure whether I actually think before my brain injury, my last year of bachelor's, I did apply for, and I got in university to do like a master's in like biomechanics and movement. That was more interesting to me at the time. And then after my brain injury, I was like, yeah.
It's put you into a different direction to what you thought you were going to be going down.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a physiotherapist for now?
Fully qualified physio, probably about 3.5 years. That's since I finished my master. But before that, I had my bachelor degree, and I was working as a sport physio role. What a sport physio would do. So I'd say I qualified from a bachelor degree in 2018. And during my second year and third year, I was already working in rugby part time. So I'd say at least from 2018.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah. And of course, in that range of therapist or practitioners, you've got osteo, physio, and chiro. Could you just run through with us what your definition of them three? What's the difference between those three?
Yeah. So that's I think that's a difficult question as well to answer. Because obviously, I didn't study osteopathy or chiropractic, so I don't want to pick out the terms. But I mean, thing is that physios, osteopath, and chiropractors, we like mechanics of the body. I feel personally physios are kind of movement specialists. We can identify movement imbalances and also and address them with exercise. So exercise specialists, but also you can help with pain management, with hands-on massage, mobilizations, then giving people pain management advice, that sort of stuff. So optimizing function and then addressing pain. Osteopathy, my understanding is also similar to physios, all body approach. Also that they might not focus so much on exercise, and I feel it's a bit more hands-on profession, focusing on the whole body, really. And also they can help with pain management, they can a lot of things, and also they do some sort of therapy as well, and help realign their whole body systems. It's just quite interesting. And then chiropractors, I feel, is mainly about alignment of someone's spine. So again, mainly if you have like a spine issue, lumbar pain or neck pain or thoracic spine pain, they can help with that, mainly using adjustment or spine manipulation. Again, to help with mainly pain management. I think that's my understanding. And as a patient, your chiropractor, and also I've learned that helps the part physical chiropractor. But I think compared to physio, maybe it's a bit more hands-on approach.
Yeah.
Physio can be hands-on as well, but it's not only and more at physio is a bit more.
So you also work with clients. Do you call them clients or patients? How do you refer to the people that you work with?
To be honest, I prefer to call them partner, because we're working together towards a goal. So, yeah, more like them partner goal.
Partners. I love that. I wouldn't have even thought about that. It sounds very similar to myself. When I have a client sitting in my chair, I say that it's a collaboration between myself and the client, because we're working together. I ask questions to find out the answers, and they're the ones that know their hair way more than I do. Yes, I know how to cut hair, just like what exercises to provide somebody, but they themselves, as a partner in your case, know their body, just like my clients know their hair. They live in their body every day, and they will know really what's painful and what's not. So it's like a dance between the professional and then the person receiving treatment from that professional.
Yeah, it's true, because I feel sometimes, for example, and let's say you go to a massage therapist or you go to potentially a chiropractor, I feel it's quite a passive treatment, as in they do their own thing and there's not much for you to do. I feel where the physio is more like, okay, I'm assessing you, how you move, and now I can help you in terms of giving you the best exercises. But at the same time, it's not going to work if you don't do them. So it's quite important to understand when you work with people, what they like, what they don't like, what kind of space they're going to be using for the exercises, what equipment they have accessible. It's like, if I tell you to do all these exercises and you really don't like them, then you're not going to do them because you don't have the equipment to do them. There's no point. So it's an elaboration, really. Understanding.
Yeah. And so you work with patients online as well as in person. How do you feel physios can help their client, patient, partner over an online consultation over what maybe an osteo or chiropractor would do?
As I said, I feel osteo and chiros potentially is a bit more hands-on fashion. So I guess it would be quite challenging to do that online. Physio, it can be very hands-on as well. Again, depending on the injury, depending on the situation and the goals of the person you're working with, I feel I can assess you. And for example, usually when I'm working with people with back pain, I like to be quite hands-on as well. If it's something very acute, that you can have a great impact by working with hands-on techniques, I think it's better to do it in person, at least for the first session. Whether if, for example, let's say it's an ankle sprain or something along the lines of an ankle sprain, I can assess you and guide you through the pain management and starting with just like easy exercises that you can do in your own time without having to say to you. Because also, like, I can ask you to do certain movements or to show me like the injured area. But online, I think these days, I think it's also very easy and convenient for people. Because in my own business, I mainly do home visits. So again, I think it's very convenient for people, but also online can be cool because you can be working with people that live really far away from you.
Mm.
And they can still help them and very convenient for them as well.
Yeah. So can you just run through, tell me if you've already laid this out in what you was explaining, the difference between a physio, chiro, and osteo, but without going into so much detail, but what is a physiotherapist and what does a physiotherapist do? Is there any more that you can add to what you've already shared with us at all, or in simple terms, so then somebody can really understand what is a physiotherapist and what does a physiotherapist do?
Yeah, so obviously I'm talking about the UK here, but I think in Australia it's quite similar. So physiotherapy, we're part of the Health Professional Council. So that's like doctors, nurses, psychotherapists, thing, and dentists, for example, nurses is a protected arm. It's a professional, it's a protected professional body. Be like autonomous practitioners, so we can diagnose people with injuries, which I'm not sure osteopath and chiro can do. Maybe they can, I'm just not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, let's say you have an injury and you come to see a physio, we go through very intense training and we can help you assess your injury and come up with a diagnosis. Or if you need imaging, we can refer you on for further investigation. So we can diagnose people and come up with a plan to help dealing with that injury.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that, I think that's very important. That's the main thing we do, diagnose and then manage that injury with a series of manual techniques and exercises and pain management.
Do you only work with injuries or do you also work with post-operative rehabilitation?
We work with injuries, but also we work with me specifically. I work with prevention as well. Let's say you're a very active person and you do a lot of sports, or maybe you're not so active and quite sedentary, and you work at your desk all the time. I work with people to also try and prevent injuries by creating custom exercise plans for them. And yeah, also post-op as well. Obviously, there's a lot of people, shoes or ligament injuries, and the post-op. Well, very important to get moving again, do strength then, and make sure that they don't.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I guess it's just trying to optimize one's body as best as what you possibly can in any given situation. And as you take them through that journey, that's where you can start to see the improvements of their movements, their pain reducing and so forth. Is it often that you work with somebody for a short or long period of time? Does it vary within your work, or do you notice that you've got a greater clientele who are with you for more so months rather than just one occasion? Because I feel the way that I have looked at osteo, chiro, and physio, having treatment by all three of those practitioners, I found that chiros and osteos, I've often just been able to go to them just the once or twice to get myself back into good order. Whereas physios, I've worked with a physio in the past for a period of time. And of course, with you knowing my history about my repetitive strain injury as well, I know that's something that I'm having to maintain over the course of a period of time, because it's my work that has created this injury. So therefore, I do need physio ongoing as such. I do need to do physiotherapy exercises to maintain that. So have you noticed a variation in your clientele with the length of the time they've been with you for?
Yeah, obviously, it's very dependent on the injury or why you're seeing someone. Like sometimes it's enough to maybe work with the person for 2, 3, 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something, I don't know, muscle strain or an acute episode of back pain, for example. But then at the same time, you have people with ligament issues, for example, or tendon ruptures, then that's going to take a long time to recover. It's going to take minimum of 6, 7 months to recover. So obviously, depending on their capacity.
The severity.
Yeah. Depending on also how many times they can see you, But yeah, I've been working with people for even for a year or more, maybe not every single week actually, but yeah, that amount of time. And one thing I forgot to say about physios is that obviously my area of physio is more musculoskeletal, dealing with bone, ligament, muscles, and tendon injuries. But there's a lot of physios that work in acute settings in hospitals, dealing with people with neurological injuries or cardiorespiratory injuries, also dealing with elderly. So it's a very broad physio, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how long was you in physio for after your brain injury?
During the time in the hospital, probably was a week, I think. And then when I was discharged, I didn't need that much physio. I did have a few sessions with a friend of mine just to make sure. And I actually did have a few sessions with the chiropractor. I felt like in the back a bit after being in the hospital for so long. So I felt like I needed to have some adjustment with myself. And that was great.
So in a matter of months or years, how long do you reckon that journey was for yourself?
Probably 3 or 4 months.
Okay. Yeah. And what so far in your career, and maybe even, I guess in the career of being a physiotherapist, so far, is there any occupation that comes to you predominantly? So for instance, a hairdresser, nurses, an athlete, is there any profession that you notice comes to you more so than other professions?
What I do specifically is really office workers at the moment. I feel a lot of people that work in an office or have a sedentary kind of job sitting at the desk, working with the laptop, computers, I feel I might develop some sort of back pain or neck pain related injuries, or even they need help with flexibility and mobility. And also sometimes some of the people I work with, because they have a very sedentary job, they might go all out at the weekend, for example.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have much time to do a very specific exercise routine. Just move on and run 20 miles a weekend, and then they develop an injury. They need some education, exercising.
And being in London, you are in the prime location for office workers. So what I'd love to do is if we could run through a scenario as if you was with a client, with myself, and that will enable people who listen to be able to understand and hear actually how easy it can be for somebody to have a consultation over a video call. And then that way they can get the feel for what it's like and to say, actually, I don't want to have to go to a physiotherapist, or I'm not in London, but I like the sound of what Lorenzo's doing and what he has to offer. How do I work with him? It gives them the opportunity to see the way that you work with your partner during that working period. Would you be up for that?
That's the luck. Right.
Awesome. I'm going to let you lead this now, Lorenzo. I'll just let everybody know, though, Lorenzo does know a bit about my background with my repetitive strain injury already. And Lorenzo's already given me a few exercises to work with, which I've done sporadically along with some other physio exercises already, because I've just having to be maintaining this. But we're going to throw this over to Lorenzo and give you a whirl, and let's see how you work.
So let's start from the beginning. If you can imagine, we don't know each other. If you just want to tell me, I think that especially when working online with people, it's very important to have a very clear, we call it like subjective examination. So like what you tell me is very important. So I want to know injury. I want to know when did it start, and from the beginning, your symptoms, how does that affect you day to day? If you can just tell me how long did you have before and what's the main symptoms at the moment, then I can ask you more questions.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so it would have been probably around the April, May time last year, I started getting severely achy fingers to the point where they're very painful by the end of my working days. As time went on last year, I started gaining a pins and needly effect in the fingertips and a very severe pinching feeling in the base of my thumb. And prior to me having physio, that became constant. It was nonstop, particularly when I'm cutting hair, my thumb and my ring finger is opening and closing with the scissors, with my clippers. My wrist is constantly moving back and forth. There's not much rotation in the wrist. And it was beginning to travel from the base of my hand all the way up to the forearm. So a constant strain up that arm. And those were my symptoms to begin with. And that was the journey.
You said April, May last year. So it's been more than a year now.
Yeah.
Back then, when you started feeling the symptoms, did you notice that was like a sudden thing, or is it more like a gradual onset, or more like a gradual increase of the symptoms?
Certainly a gradual thing.
And at the time when you started having the symptoms, did you change the way you did your job, or did you do it more? Did you notice anything changing in that regard?
Because of the work that I do, and having to work full time, I couldn't stop that work. It's the only way for me to have an income, and there was no option to have sick leave really at the time, and even through to this year. As time went on, because I obviously wasn't doing anything different in my job, I can't cut hair any different, I can't use the clippers any different unless I was to switch hands, but I can't cut with my left hand because I cut with my right unless I became ambidextrous. And I did even start to use the clippers in my left hand at times when the pain did get so bad. So I have learned a little bit of clippering with my left hand, with the opposite hand that I predominantly use.
Okay, that makes sense. Then how did you cope with this? Was it like, when you said you had pain, was it like an unbearable pain? Or was it something that stopped you from doing your job? Or was it something that you could still do? But obviously, was it more like an ache, severe pain?
It did get extreme at times where by the end of the day, when I got home, I would be crying because of the pain. And I just guess whilst I was at work, I used to just keep on having to stretch out my hand. So I would push the tip of my thumb against my thighs and open my hand out wide to try and stretch that lower part of my hand to try and get rid of this constant pinching. Or what I would do is I would get my thumb and just push it directly into the pain area to just give it some form of relief. So you know that sort of painful but good pain vibe that people talk about? When I would press that point, and even now, because I still am experiencing the repetitive strain injury, but I've got it under bay, but I would just have to cope with it, to be honest. But it was definitely many days went by where it would get unbearable, but I just sort of grinned and bared it.
And during throughout this time, did you have any investigations? Did you see any like physios? Did you mention the working advice were you given? What diagnosis were you given?
So I went to see my GP a number of times, telling him about these pins and needling, the very severe joint pain in my fingers. At first, he referred me for blood tests to check that I didn't have any autoimmune disease, because he was suspecting something like arthritis, particularly the pain throughout my fingers. Luckily, that turned out to not be an autoimmune disease. And then as time went on, I went to have x-rays and ultrasounds. And through that, it confirmed that there was no arthritis. It also confirmed that I had, and I probably still have it, which is why I'm still getting the pain, but a buildup of fluid in my hand and in my wrist. So the ultrasounds showed the buildup of fluid, and they basically advised me that all the time I'm doing this job, this fluid isn't really going to go away. It's just about maintaining it. And then going back to my GP with those scans, that's where he diagnosed me with that repetitive strain injury, because there was thought about it being carpal tunnel because of where the pain is, but again the x-rays and ultrasounds confirmed that it wasn't carpal tunnel.
And now, more than a year after, how did you feel with those symptoms?
So the sensation after I've had some physiotherapy for from my physiotherapist here in Australia, as well as those few exercises from you, I've managed to really reduce the pain. I generally don't have pins and needles in my hands. It's just sometimes when I close my scissors, and when I close the scissors, that pounding sensation of the scissors coming together would shoot a sensation up my fingers and down my wrist. I get that not that often. It still does arise from time to time. In terms of the most predominant pain being in the base of my thumb, that is every day for me, even on days that I don't work as well. But it has reduced from doing physio. But also, I forgot to mention as well, Lorenzo, is I've been wearing a splint for most of this year so far. So to begin with, it probably would have been in December time, I got a splint and I wore that all hours that I possibly could do. I tried wearing it whilst I was working, but I physically couldn't cut hair with the scissors because the splint would get in the way of that. And also because I couldn't bend my wrist, I was overcompensating by lifting my elbow up so then my hand could be in the right angle. And then I got shoulder pain because I was overcompensating. So eventually, oh God, it was awful. But eventually, after about 2 or 3 days, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to take the splint off because I physically can't continue working like this. It's not practical for me. So then I went to just wearing it all hours of the day that I possibly could do. As physio went on from the physiotherapist here in Australia, I managed to wear it less and less. It then got to the point where I was pretty much nearly pain-free. So I'm going to stop doing my exercises and I'm going to stop wearing my splint. But what I've found is from stop wearing my splint, and because that I went from wearing it as much as I can to then just nighttime. Sorry, I'll just go backtrack that. I was wearing it then from wearing it most times to just at nighttime. But then where I thought, oh, I'm fine. It seems to have sorted itself out. Yes, the pain is still there, but it's definitely nowhere as intense as what it once was. But I found where I stopped doing my exercises, where I stopped wearing the splint at night, that pain increased again. And I guess now that's where I'm back to wearing my splint at nighttime again and open for more suggestions about exercises from yourself.
That's good. Yeah, because we physically do like objective measurements all the time. For example, at the moment, like now talking to me, do you feel those in do that pain? Shooting pain up your arm or like
the shooting sensation, the pins and needles is zero.
Any pain at all?
The only thing that I notice constantly, Lorenzo, is the pain in the base of my thumb. That is constant. And I would say that's constant off a level 2. It's definitely manageable. I still work with it. I still go about my day with it. But right now, this is how it's feeling all the time. And it's like a 2. It's I can tell it's there, but it's not stopping me from doing things. It's not.
It's like an ache.
It's eight. Yes, a constant pressure pinch. That's
two out of 10, you mean, yeah? So 10 is like the worst pain possible. Like someone's just shot you in the leg or in the hand, and zero is nothing.
Yeah.
And when you do work, when you get worse, does it get much worse? How would you describe?
Yeah, when I'm at work doing my job, that pain probably goes up to a 6 most days. Yeah. And on days, for instance, if I'm on my laptop or if I'm on my phone, but now what I do because of that pain, I've actually transferred my phone to my left and I use just the tip of my middle finger to type away on my right hand. And I think sometimes when I'm on my laptop for quite a period of time, because of course my wrist would be in that sort of in a same position, I'd be typing away.
Yeah.
Pain probably goes up to around about a 4, 5. Right. But work is definitely, by the end of the week, it gets gradually worse. So by Friday, it's definitely at that 6 point for sure.
And you said that when you work, it goes up to about 6. And then let's say you stop working that day. Does it keep being 6 or does it go down to 2 again quite quickly?
Yeah, definitely after a good couple of hours of finishing work, it definitely reduces. probably down to a 3. Yeah. And then when I've had my days off, like today I'm on day 3 of not working, it comes down to that too. I also forgot to mention as well, Lorenzo, last year I had to stop going to the gym. That was also due to other health problems. But what I really couldn't do is a handstand because the pressure on my wrist was just so intense that I had to stop handstands. And luckily now I've managed to get back to doing handstands, but there was a point where I couldn't, the pain was too great. But yeah, so day 3, and I've now managed to change my work hours to work in full-time hours, but just over the course of 4 days. And then I have 3 days off, which is what my GP has enabled me to do and suggested that I do, because I do find when I was having just 2 days off work, it wasn't giving my RSI enough time to recover before then I went into my working week again.
Obviously, because you mentioned you've done quite a lot of investigations and things like X-ray and ultrasound. Obviously, if I didn't know you, I would recommend to do that. Obviously, if you've done it already, to exclude more sinister or severe things going on. Yeah, one thing I wanted to ask is, do you have any other medical conditions, or did you have this problem before, apart from like this past year? Did you have any injuries to the arm before, or wrist or hand?
No, I've never had this problem before until last year. I do also think what brought it on a lot was due to stress and anxiety, and actually just generally feeling very low. My mental health really wasn't that great just over a year ago. And I feel that's what then snowballed into physical problems with my health. Internally, I really wasn't happy. I was very dark. And that then transpired into external physical symptoms and pains and problems. And I guess the only other medical things that I would mention is, last year I was iron deficient, so I had to have an iron infusion. And my headaches and migraines, I battle headaches and migraines frequently. That's a very common thing in my life. My migraines have definitely reduced. I probably haven't had a migraine for probably nearly half a year now, actually. So that I'm doing pretty good with that. But headaches I still get. And that's more of a monthly time for me. Around that time of the month, that's when my headaches ramp up. Was diagnosed with endometriosis about 13, 14 years ago, I reckon. But there's no signs of that in recent years. Apart from my mental health, that's really the only other medical conditions that I would say that I know of anyway.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Because basically I like to have a quite holistic approach. So I like to think about, the physical symptoms they're getting, but also like, how's the rest of your life, for example? How's your sleep? How's your depression? How's your social life? What kind of stuff do you do to deal with personal anxiety? How's your alcohol and drugs, cigarettes, consumption? All these things, I think, are really, really important to know all of this when dealing with the person. Because a lot of people might have similar issues to you, but obviously everyone's different. For example, is your sleep affected by this? Or is there anything in life that you mentioned before, like you couldn't do certain exercises in the gym? Is anything, is it stopping you from doing what you want to do at work?
Yeah, luckily as it stands, it's not stopping me from doing anything that I want to do. Sleep wise it was stopping me from sleeping at one point, particularly last year. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and my arm would be dead. Pins and needles would arise quite severely. Now, sleep-wise, because I've gone back to wearing my splint at night, I feel I relax more because I've got that supported. Whereas when I stopped using my splint at night time, I felt my hand was curling back up, my fingers coming in and coming into a claw. I feel I need to stretch out my hand. So sleep-wise for me, back to normal, particularly more since wearing the splint again. But that might be some advice that you can give me, Lorenzo, is I don't want to rely on this splint to keep my pain and this injury at bay, because I also don't want to then come to a point where I rely on it so much that I feel like I can never take off the splint at nighttime, that every night for the rest of my life I've got to be wearing this splint. I do very much know the only way that this repetitive strain injury is going to go away is by stop doing the work that I do and stop my career. I will be eventually leaving the hair industry, give it a couple of years, that I will have that opportunity to walk away from it. But I don't want to, for the next 2 years, have to put up with and suffer with the repetitive strain injury. If I can get to the point where I actually cure it.
What are you going to do in 2 years?
Oh, I'm going to go straight into the wellness side of things and teach meditation and yoga. Yeah, just all the nice, juicy stuff. The stuff that I feel passionate about and I enjoy. And meditation for me, that's the biggest thing that's really transformed my life over the last year. And I believe meditation is also what's helped me to reduce my health conditions, reduce the pains and the stress and the anxiety that I was having. And I feel through that anxiety and stress decreasing and learning how to meditate and meditating, that then also had a huge impact on my physical pain, such as my fingers, the pins and needles and everything. But it is just this repetitive strain injury and the fluid within the base of my hand and in the wrist area that's still there.
Yeah, it sounds like do you have some constant inflammation there, especially your nerve pain that innervates the hand. They all start from the neck, the spine, and then travel down the shoulder and then innervate the hand. So I feel personally, like you said, meditation can be really important to calm down the nervous system. And also, like, probably having a look at how you move, not just your hand and wrist, but more like your elbow, your shoulder. For example, have you noticed the weakness compared to your normal self, compared to the other side? I'd say probably you might have during the past year. So addressing your arm and also your scapula, your upper back, neck, mobility, and strength could really help managing those symptoms. And you want to do this job for another 2 years, but let's say you want 20 years, like keeping like flexibility, mobility, finding not just your hands and wrists, but just in general on that side of the body, I think for me would be the key to manage. And also, I'm really interested in nutrition as well. And because of the inflammation signs that you have, reducing, for example, the amount of alcohol that someone drinks or the sugar that we consume in our diet, and also the ultra processed food. See,
this year I've drunk not a drop of alcohol. I don't smoke, so we're on the good tracks there. I definitely feel as well, you mentioning nutrition, I know last year I was eating more processed foods and sugar than what I normally would have done. I think that was because my mental state wasn't in a great space. Whereas this year, through meditating, my mental health state had just exceeded more than what I thought it would do having meditated. And I have severely reduced those processed foods and the sugars. Yeah, you reminded me of that. And you're right in saying when we're feeding ourselves processed foods and sugars, that can also create inflammation as well.
Yeah. I feel like whatever diet someone's have, the key is to have more organic food, like fruit and veg and all grains and that kind of stuff, over like processed and sugary food and drinks. Because obviously, especially when you have an injury or trying to recover from an injury, you can do a lot of things, but then if you keep eating McDonald's, for example, and drinking sugary drinks or alcohol, that's not going to help your system to recover. It's not going to give the right nutrients to your body to be able to recover. It's actually going to put fuel on the fire. Yeah, it's not just, okay, I think you have this injury, do these exercises twice a week, and you're fine. It's more like also just discover. If you do meditate or not, how you sleep, how you eat, what you drink, how your social life is, if you feel supported in your life by people close to you, I think all of those things are really good.
Yeah.
Having an injury or when not doing the best. And obviously, other things you can look at now, potentially, like how you move your wrist and hand, how you move your right hand versus your left hand, shoulder. if you feel the same, is that your stronger angle?
Yes, the right hand, which is where I've got the injury, is my predominant arm that I use. Yes.
And do you feel that arm being weaker, maybe, compared to the normal in this past year? Or not really?
Oh, there has definitely been times where it has been weak. There's been moments where I couldn't even pick up a kettle with just that hand. I had to use two hands. Yeah, luckily I'm not at that point right now. But I definitely drop things an awful lot. The grip, weirdly, I just drop my comb out of my hand. So I definitely still feel there is weakness there, yes.
And do you feel like your dexterity, for example, is affected?
Say that word again, sorry.
Your dexterity, when you do a small movement, for example, yeah, from your hand, right, doing a job with scissors and stuff, do you feel, apart from the pain and the sin, do you feel like it's much harder than it should be?
Yeah, just even the whole phone situation, sometimes when I'm wanting to journal,
what?
I can't journal for as long as I was journaling once, because that, the tiny little movements of writing on paper with my right hand then just enhances the pain in the base of my thumb.
Yeah. So I think for you specifically, it is quite important to continue probably for as long as you work as a hairdresser. Yes. Continue the exercises, and maybe now it's more acute-ish. You had the period where you're feeling better, and then you stop the exercises, stop going, and then now you're feeling like the symptoms again, so maybe now you're doing more of the exercises, and then eventually it's a bit of sort of making sure your arm, your shoulder, like that and the body is strong enough to tolerate what you need to be doing. It'd be like an athlete, for example, like if you are a runner, or you put in a lot of strain on your muscles and your joints, especially the lower body. So if you're a runner and you run a lot of miles a week, then you don't do any strengthening work. That's not great. You want to be strong, you want to tolerate what you want to do, the running. So I see a lot of runners that don't really do any strengthening work, and then they pick up all sorts of different injuries. And I feel sometimes people think that running is just an easy thing that you do, but it's actually not. Yeah, it is easy as in you can do it whatever you are, but there's a lot of stress that goes through your body when you run. So you need to and want to be strong, tolerate that. If you have very weak legs and you run a lot, you are more prone to it and get injury. Things would be like your job, for example, you're always doing certain movements. If your muscles and your joints are not strong enough to tolerate that movement, fortunately, will catch an injury.
Yeah.
Sounds simple, but it's.
Yeah. And so, I mean, of course, the exercise that I've got have all been very much wrist orientated and also finger orientated. You mentioned about making sure that my neck and my shoulder and my actual arm is being looked after as well. Is there anything that you could add to the program that I've already got for the actual foundation of the right arm and hand in terms of from the neck and the shoulder?
I think the body is every part of the body is connected. It's not just like, yeah, you have a bigger pain in your knee, so you're only going to do exercises around the knee joint. I feel for you, for example, yes, of course, you want to be very strong in your hand, in your fingers, in your wrist, especially because you do have pins and needles. Those nerves, the symptoms that you might only feel in fingers, but those nerves start in the neck. So I think I can give you some examples, adding some upper back and neck mobility, sort of shoulder mobility, even gave you some flossing exercises for the nervous system.
Did you say floss exercises?
Flossing, yeah.
What's this?
So basically, there are some, because obviously you have three main nerves that run through, that basically innervate your hands. And they run through all the way from your neck down to you, down the arm, your hand. And so basically nerves are like really thick. I imagine like almost like a 2D grip. They're quite thick and bendy. A bit like muscles in a way. So they like to be stretched as well, same as muscle. So there are some specific, the weird movements that you can do. to stretch those nerves. I think that would be really important for you. So stretching those nerves, making sure you have a good range, good flexibility, not just in your wrist, but across all the joints of the arm, and also like good strength in your upper body, so your upper back and neck, or the elbow, wrist. Then more like global approach.
Yeah, which is actually good that you're saying all that, because I already do a fair bit of mobility with my arms and my shoulders. I can't do much today because I went for a myotherapist massage yesterday and I feel been beaten. But I do a lot of wall work. So I stand with my back against the wall and I'll have my arms straight and I lift them up above my head, or my arms will be in cactus pose and I'll bring them down and then all the way up for my hands to touch and things as well. So I'm doing a fair bit of mobility stuff already. At the gym that I go to, I can have a regular consultation with one of the personal trainers there. Do you work in alignment with personal trainers? So for instance, for myself, would you reach out to that PT and say, based on my consultation with Fliss, this is what I've noticed, this is a diagnosis as such, these sorts of exercises will be beneficial in her program. Is that something that you do? Do you correspond with personal trainers to help people along their journey to strengthen their body up?
Yeah, I think as a physio, in my personal area of expertise, maybe a bit less potentially. For example, a lot of physios, especially in hospitals, you have a medical team of doctors, nurses, and also the therapists. So you do collaborate with each other. And I do work in a few different places, so I do collaborate with other medical professionals as well. But in terms of working with PTs, I feel like for my personal area of expertise, I used to be a personal trainer before, so I do have that background, and I do exercise prescription and do actually the work with the people I work with. So if I didn't have the time, for example, or it was a particular situation, yeah, of course I would collaborate with them, but like when I work with someone, I like to kind of cover that area myself, because I feel like the skills and I really
like you say, because you've got that background knowledge, you did your personal training certification, you ended up being a personal trainer as well, you've also got the accreditation to provide somebody a fitness program as well as physio exercises should they wish to have that. Yeah,
with my approach, again, I look at the whole picture, but I can face to face potentially go to the gym and do exercise with the people I'm working with, or provide a nice plan that they can do.
It's really nice to get an understanding of how you can go through a consultation online just by asking those questions, and it's no different really to having a consultation in person. But for some people, you would need to see them in person, and like you say, maybe that would be the initial consultation for you to really truly assess the area of the problem. But after that, you can then take that person onto an online consultation to be able to help them continue their journey to recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, I knew already about your injuries, you didn't go into too much details potentially, especially in terms of how you move, but otherwise the similar things to what I would do in face-to-face session, I would ask you to do that. I would ask you to move your fingers, move your wrist, like a pleasant force, and tell me how in terms of strength there's a difference. I think it's quite straightforward. I would ask if you notice any swelling or anything like that. And these are all things that you can tell me or even show me over the camera. And yeah, of course, sometimes it's better to have a face-to-face appointment. For some people, you might prefer that. But it also depends on the circumstances.
So if anybody was wanting to reach out to you, where's the best place for them to message you? Or contact you via a website or Instagram?
So I have my website, which is called LifeFit, and then 1H only, LifeFitTherapy.com. And on the website, there's a link to my WhatsApp. So you can get in touch by WhatsApp, or there's also my phone number and my email address on the website. So quite easy, or Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no ways to reach out with them, quite easy.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Thank you so much, Lorenzo. And I will be putting links to your website as well as your Instagram account on the show notes. So if anybody did want to reach out to you, then they can go underneath the episode and click that. So there's one last question that I want to query with you, because when I was last chatting to you, you was telling me about setting up a running club for people that didn't like running, because you yourself don't really enjoy running, but it's something that you want to challenge yourself with. So where are you at with this running club?
It's been a bit of progress on that. So basically, I used to run many years ago when I was playing football, and I was also used to be a football referee. So I had to run quite a lot and train as well, fitness tests, running. I never really liked running just for the sake of running, for whatever reason. Especially on my own, I never really liked it. Mm. But it's something that I want to get better at, because I feel like it's a very good way to de-stress. And it's easy to do. You can do whenever, wherever you are. So originally wanted to start this in my local area with a friend of mine, but then those guys moved out of the area. So at the moment, I'm collaborating with another clinic in North London, far away from where I am.
Yeah.
One of the owners is running marathons to support the Alzheimer's disease charity.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, they are starting, and we'll do with that, start the running club. And also we will be able to provide gait analysis and sport runners and
that kind of stuff.
I did go running a few times. It was really bad. It's hard work for me to run.
Yeah.
I think the most I did was about 4K, and then I felt in bits afterwards. But I just want to improve that to get
back. Nice. That's really awesome. I love that. Do let me ping some details of those things that you've just shared, so then I can put that on the show notes. So for instance, center that you're working alongside, and also what charity they're running for as well, because I can put that on the show notes. That'll be really handy. But I'm glad that you found a purpose to get more involved with running.
I feel like a lot of people maybe don't like the idea of running, or don't feel like they're fit enough to do it, or they feel embarrassed maybe. There's a lot of reasons why. But that's why I want to bring together people that don't necessarily love running, or quite running, or they all like they need a kick to start running. I want to give.
And I think you've got to practice what you preach. If you're wanting to encourage people who don't like running, or people who have never ran before, or people that feel embarrassed to run, or they feel awkward about it, or they're a bit too overweight, whatever it might be, for you to actually start something like that. And I'm sure there's so many people, particularly in London. You think about the amount of people that are in London. There are so many people that probably want to run. They'd probably wake up some days thinking, oh, how nice would it be to run the River Thames this morning? But, oh, I don't want to. I've not run before. I don't know where to begin. And it's also not only that, but making sure someone has the right footwear. So working with this center and doing the gait analysis would just be so beneficial to anybody that was wanting to start that journey. And for you to share as a personal trainer, as a physiotherapist, to be sharing that running isn't my thing, I don't enjoy it, but it's something that I want to get better at, it's something that I want to challenge myself at, that will in turn inspire others to go, you know what, I'm gonna work up to running 5k, and even if I just get up to 5k in a space of a year, I've hit a goal, and Lorenzo's helped me get to that goal.
Yeah, and also I think the sense of community, because some people like myself, I don't really like running up, you know? I think running without people keeps you motivated, keeps you going. You see someone else that's not giving up, but you also don't want to. Is it more likely? I go running on my own and it starts raining, for example. Why am I doing that? But if I'm with other people, less likely that I'll stop.
I love that. Really love that. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to hear how your running continues. Really appreciate it, Lorenzo.
Can I just share something?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm a bit of a geek sometimes, and I want to find the word, the nature of the word. We ask the difference between physio, chiropractic, and osteopath.
Mm.
They all come from the Greek language. And so basically, if you don't mind me,
go for it.
So basically, they come from a word in Greek that means kind of nature, or physiotherapy. It means a natural treatment. Two different words in Greek, physiotherapy. It means like natural treatment. Therapy means treatment or therapy, and physio means nature. And then osteopathy, basically, pathy or pathos means like suffering, and osteo means bones. So like, literally means bone disease. And then chiropractic, the part practice or practic means like foot.
Yeah.
And chiro means hand. So it's a hand practice.
Yeah.
That's what it.
Yeah, it's a hand-on. It's a hands-on practice. Huh. I love that. Thank you for bringing that. Because again, look, what you don't know, you don't know. And it's conversations like this, where yourself and my other guests and even me can bring to the table wisdom, knowledge, lesson, experience. So just you sharing that, I didn't even know that myself. So you've taught me something today. Thank you so much for your time today, your knowledge, your wisdom, and just your energy as well. Thanks, Lorenzo. I really appreciate it.
That was great. Thank you.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please do leave a star rating, review it, share it with somebody that you think would enjoy it or could even benefit from this. So as you heard in mine and Lorenzo's discussion, there will be links to Lorenzo and his work in the show notes below. So please do go check them out if you'd like to. And for any of you who can relate to my repetitive strain injury, holler at me. Send me a message on Instagram at TheYogaBarber. I know what it feels like to have an injury, which is something that you have to manage for a period of time whilst you're doing something that causes that repetitive strain injury. I think many of us, particularly in the hair industry, will at some point in our career experience RSI or even carpal tunnel. Not just hairdressers and barbers, but I know chefs too experience this. So all the time we can look after our physical, mental, spiritual and emotional well-being. We need to gravitate towards that. We need to step into that motion of caring for ourselves, but not just caring for ourselves, but also caring for other people too. Our friends, our family, our co-workers, strangers. So if this episode could in any way help anybody, please, please, please do share it. Send it on to that person. I bloody enjoyed chatting to Lorenzo, and also I loved how he brought in the Greek meanings around the words physiotherapist, chiropractor, and osteopath. That's the biggest thing that I learned from that conversation. So if you want to share with me and Lorenzo what you learned from today's episode, then send us both a message at The Yoga Barber and Life Fit Therapy. So it's just one T between fit and therapy. As I say, the links will be in the show notes. Or even just write a review. When you write the review, tell us what you learned from today's episode. I love to hear when people are learning from Ada. And also to connect with you, my listener. It's such a pleasure. And I'm so privileged to have created AWP and still be here sharing what I share with you, having conversations with people across the world to educate me, to educate you, to build connection, humanity. There is something way more in life than just slogging away, working day in, day out, doing the grind, doing the Groundhog Day. To me, working is not living. And I know that some of us, just like myself right now, I'm working to be able to pay my bills. I'm working to be able to support what I'm wanting to do in my future. So if that is you, I feel you, I see you, I hear you. And for those of you who are on the journey of building your dream, maybe you're an entrepreneur, maybe you're a stay-at-home mum, whatever it is, I am so friggin' proud of you. And I hope others in your life tell you that too. But the most important thing and the most important person is yourself. You've got to be proud of yourself. You've got to be your number one cheerleader. You've got to be the one that believes in yourself wholeheartedly. You've got to be the one that proves things to yourself. Do not prove anything to anyone else, because proving yourself to others is a waste of energy. The only person you need to believe in, the only person you need to prove to, and the only person you need to be proud of initially, okay? I'm not saying you're the only person, but initially, look within. Look within, my beautiful, beautiful beings, because you are friggin' magical. You are amazing. You are strong. And you are a speck in this galaxy. And it's only this one lifetime that you are in that you get to experience this life in this way. So thank you so much for joining myself and Lorenzo today. Reach out to Lorenzo, reach out to myself. And for next week's episode, it's going to be a really cool dynamic between myself and Matthew, who is the barber coach. If you wish to listen to that episode before it comes out on Wednesday next week, then I'll let you into a little secret. Myself and Matthew are going to be going live on the Barber Coach TV on Thursday night, UK time, 8:30 p.m. So if you want to gain access to that, you can become a member of the Barber Coach TV using the link in my show notes. Any questions, holler at me, let me know. And I look forward to bringing you next week's episode. In the meantime, beautiful beings,
as always, stay tuned and stay real. Join me every Wednesday for a wholeness podcast. I'll catch you real soon. Peace, love, and light.